Om Shanti. It was a beautiful inspiration that we heard in the song, comparing the mind with the swan and telling the swan to take in the pearls of knowledge, the pearls of Raj Yoga, to enrich the life. So, Raj Yoga, being the king of all yogas, where we have all the yogas within Raj Yoga. There are various types of yogas mentioned in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, but amongst all those yogas, Raj Yoga is the king of all yogas. This yoga is also known as Jnana Yoga because the yoga that we practice is on the basis of proper understanding. Without the understanding of the Self, without the understanding of the Supreme, there is no connection. Until and unless we do not understand the secrets of karma, the secrets of time, we are not able to apply them in our lives. And when we do not apply those spiritual laws in our life, there is great confusion within our own self. This yoga is also known as Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti means love for God. And so, we can only have meditation when there is love for God. If there is no love, there is no yoga, no connection. Bhakti does not simply mean rituals. Bhakti does not simply mean going to the temples or doing pujas. All these are mediums that we have adopted so that we develop a love for God. But we find that by adopting all the various physical methods, still the love was not generated. And gradually we moved away from God and His love. So Bhakti Yoga means the connection can be established only when there is true love. There is devotion within the heart. It is not just physical devotion or external devotion, but the devotion is the love for God. This is also known as Hatha Yoga. Hatha means determination. Wherever there is determination in our action, in our thoughts, we are able to achieve anything. Without a determined desire, there is nothing that we can achieve in meditation. This yoga is also known as Samatva Yoga, the yoga that teaches us balance in our household life and spiritual life. in our work life and social life. So all the various aspects of our life, the social life, personal life, spiritual life, and family life, professional life, there should be a balance between all of them. Sometimes we find people create an imbalance in their lives. Either they are so much workaholic or they are so much family oriented. Some people are so much spiritualized that they lose balance between all the various aspects of their life. So it is also known as Samatva Yoga, means that yoga which teaches us the balance. How to maintain a balance in our life. So that being in the world, being in our household, still we are able to practice Raj Yoga. This yoga is also known as Buddhi Yoga. Why Buddhi Yoga? Because we have to connect the mind and the intellect with the Supreme. When yoga means connection, just as Vyoga means separation, so we need to connect ourselves with the Supreme by focusing the mind and intellect on Him. So this is how Raj Yoga is the king of all yogas. It is Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga. We do not have to leave our karma, but we have to bring efficiency in our karma also. When we inculcate the values, when we inculcate the divinity, then there is efficiency in our karma also. So Raj Yoga is Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Samatva Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. All the yogas are within Raj Yoga, merged in Raj Yoga. This is why God also mentioned to Arjuna, I teach you that yoga through which you can become the king of all kings. You do not need to perform all these separate yogas. But by learning Raj Yoga, you will be practicing all the yogas by itself. So this is the importance of Raj Yoga in our present life also. Because either human beings are not able to have the clear spiritual understanding, do not know how to apply that wisdom in life, are not able to maintain a balance in their life, and so their karma is also inefficient. This is where human beings get frustrated in life. So Raj Yoga is being taught by God at this present time. And by this Raj Yoga, we become the king of all kings. Means first we achieve the self-sovereignty. We achieve the mastery upon our own sense organs. And the one who is able to have self-sovereignty is able to master his mind as well. And the one who has mastered his mind, he becomes a source of inspiration for many. When the new world order is being created, in that new world order, he becomes the source of inspiration for many. So he rules the hearts of people. This is how he becomes the king of all kings. It is not some physical sovereignty that he achieves in his life. But the sovereignty of his own self and winning the hearts of all, this is what knowledge teaches us to be. Yesterday in our subject, the method and basis of Raj Yoga, we saw that Raj Yoga is very simple. Anybody can perform, whether he is physically disabled, whether he is a healthy person, whether he is a small child, whether he is an elderly person or a rich man or a poor man. Whoever he is, whatever the background he is having, but still, the physical disabilities cannot become a barrier for a person not to learn Raj Yoga. Because this Raj Yoga has to be understood with the intellect. Somebody asked me this question, whether a blind person can do meditation. Why not? Because his third eye awakens. And when the third eye opens up, he is able to visualize those aspects which even those with eyes cannot visualize. They are able to perceive knowledge in an appropriate manner, and so they can practice meditation. But while practicing this meditation, how can we come to know whether we are progressing or regressing? Whether we are moving forward or whether we are somewhere at a still? So to know whether we are progressing, there are four stages of meditation. The first stage of meditation is what we call as initiation of mind, or what we saw contemplation, where we initiate the mind to a particular method so that we are taking a first step to achieve that self-sovereignty. Without initiation, there is no meditation. We need to develop a desire in the mind to do something. Without the desire, how can we move forward? So initiating the mind means developing that desire to do, practice something. As we initiate and start practicing meditation, the second step is what we call as communication with God. There is a relationship that we have established with Him. And on the basis of this relationship, we start communicating with God, giving us the feeling of closeness with God. It is not that God is someone so highest on high and I am so low, and so there cannot be any connection. No. When we establish a relationship, there is a belongingness to God. That closeness, and so the love starts generating for God. The third stage is what we call as concentration. As we go on communicating, Then a stage comes when we get absorbed in His remembrance. And the mind is focused. The mind gets concentrated on Him. And through that concentration, we get into the fourth stage, which is known as realization. A stage of experience. As soon as we get absorbed, we go into a state of experience. An experience is the best teacher through which we progress day by day. So these are the four stages of meditation: contemplation, communication, concentration, and realization. Or in other words, we can say initiation, communication, concentration, and realization. Now if we look at all these stages and try to understand what is the feeling that we experience during this stage, the first stage where we initiate the mind, it is not that it's an overnight process that today we have learnt the technique of meditation, so immediately we are able to concentrate our mind and it won't wander away anywhere. No, it takes some time. The mind is in a habit of wanderings in so many aspects. So immediately it won't calm down. But the understanding is there. What is the mind? What is the soul? So as we go on practicing, gradually we can calm down the negative thoughts that are also going in. But as we initiate the mind, initially there is a struggle that we have to go through. Because our past sanskaras are so powerful that they also come up. And there is a struggle between the positive thoughts and the negative thoughts that are within. And this is a stage which we compare or which is shown in the scriptures as a memorial in form of a story of Sagar Manthan. When the ocean was churned, this churning took place between the deities and the devils, the asuras. And when the churning was going on, what comes out initially? The poison comes out. And the smell of the poison was such that the deities, they were becoming unconscious. Where only a few were left, then the remaining deities, they rushed to Shiva and call out to him, if we are going to go unconscious, then the jar of nectar that will come out from the ocean, that will be taken up by the devils. And the asuras will become immortal if they have that kalash of nectar. So God, help us. That is the time when it is said that Shiva comes. He descends. And he takes in the poison. He revives the deities back to their consciousness. And again the churning of the ocean starts. Gradually, one after the other, things come out from the ocean. And in the end, a kalash of nectar comes out, which is adopted by Mohini, which is the form of Mahalakshmi. And when she adopts this kalash, she gives the nectar to the deities and they become immortal. And this is how the asuras, they were not given the nectar at all. This is just a story in the scripture. But actually this is the first stage of meditation. How? The mind is compared to an ocean. Why with an ocean? Because in an ocean there is no moment when the water is completely standstill. When the water is completely silent. Where you can see your image in that water, there is no such moment. In a river, sometimes the river becomes completely still and you can see the whole image, the reflection in that water. In a lake also, there is a moment where the water is completely still and you can see the whole image. But in an ocean, the water is never still. Small waves also keep on coming up one after the other. Sometimes there are huge waves that arise. And at times there are hurricanes that come up. There are storms that come up. So the mind is also like an ocean where each and every moment some or the other thought is arising in the mind. There is no moment when the mind is completely still. Useless thoughts will also come up. Negative thoughts will also come up. Waste thoughts will also come up. Unnecessary thoughts will also come up. Vicious thoughts may also come up. So, some or the other wave of thoughts keep on arising in the mind. So we have to churn this ocean. And how do we do that? In the first stage of meditation, we give some positive, pure, powerful thoughts to the mind. But the negative thoughts, the unnecessary thoughts do not leave the mind. So there is a struggle between the positive thoughts and the negative thoughts. And this is like the churning of the ocean. So first of all, what will come up? The poison comes up. And the poison is the vicious thoughts, they come up. In the mind also, sometimes there are storms that arise, hurricanes that are arising. Sometimes there are most negative thoughts coming up. And sometimes useless, waste thoughts coming up. So in this churning, when the poison comes up, means the viciousness arises to such a level that sometimes people get afraid. I think I won't be able to do meditation. There are such negative thoughts, vicious thoughts, which I have never had before. They are arising. It is not that we never had any vicious thoughts during our lifetime. There were vicious thoughts. But we went on sustaining those vicious thoughts also. That this is so natural for a human being to think. There is nothing bad. And this is how we went on sustaining those thoughts. So whenever anything is churned, even when buttermilk is churned, what happens? That which is below comes up. Similarly, all this viciousness that was sustained within our minds, the moment the churning starts, it starts coming up to the surface. And this is where people sometimes get afraid. I think I won't be able to do meditation because such quality of thoughts are arising which have never been there in my life. It was there in form of sanskars. But we don't have to be afraid. At that time, invoke Shiva. Invoke the Supreme Being. There is a difference between Shiva and Shankar. You might have heard yesterday. Did you hear the difference between Shiva and Shankar? The names are different. The forms are also different. One is Jyotirlingam, one is a deity. The task is also different. Shiva means the benefactor and Shankar means when the third eye is opened, there is destruction that is there. So when the names are different, when the forms are different, when the tasks are different, how can they be one? If Shankar himself was Shiva, then whom did he meditate upon on the Kailash mountains? Who is higher than him? If he is Mahadev, then whom did he meditate upon? Whom did he do the tapasya for? What for? There is a beautiful story in the scriptures also. When people go on a pilgrimage to Amarnath, Amarnath's importance is due to what? Why is it so famous? Why every year there are pilgrimages to Amarnath? Then in the scriptures it is said, at Amarnath, Shankar gave the knowledge of Amarnath to Parvati. And the witness were the two pigeons which are still shown there. Now just imagine, if Shankar narrated the story of Amarnath to Parvati, then is Amarnath and Shankar one or different? They are different. So at that moment, invoke Shiva, the light, the immortal light. And when I invoke Shiva, he takes away the poison from me. The vicious thoughts which are arising, the poison of the viciousness is taken by Shiva. That is why when we go to the temples of Shiva, which flowers do we offer? In the temples of deities, we offer roses, we offer lotus. But in the temple of Shiva, which are the flowers that we offer? The most poisonous flowers. Why? Because he has taken the poison from us. So when he has taken the poison from us, this is the memorial. And again start the churning of the ocean. Gradually we'll find there is a change in our thought process. One after the other, in between we get some of the other beautiful things coming out from our own minds. But in the end, the nectar comes out. The kalash of nectar coming out from the mind itself. And when that comes out, and when we share with the world, we share that nectar with the people who have divine qualities in their life, then they are also able to divinize. And those beautiful sanskars, those divine sanskars become immortal in our life. They become permanent in our life. And this is how we achieve complete victory upon the vices and the viciousness from the thoughts itself. Because thoughts are like seeds, and if the seeds are vicious, then in our life also the viciousness will create the poison from time to time, giving us bitter experiences in life. But as soon as I bring out that kalash of nectar from within, I achieve that mastery upon the mind also. This is how self-sovereignty is achieved. So this becomes the first stage of meditation. Not only that, but in this meditation, just as we find in the world also, there are some people who have some skin rashes or some skin disease, and when they go to a doctor, especially if they go to a homeopathy or Ayurvedic doctor, the doctor will give them the medicine, but at the same time he will say, be careful. The disease will increase in the initial stage because the poison has to come out. We are not going to suppress this disease. So when it comes out, it will increase. But after it comes out, the poison coming out, then the skin will become clear. This is what they tell us, they advise. So don't get afraid when the disease increases, because it has to come out from the roots itself. But once it comes out, then the skin also becomes clear and you become free from that disease itself. The same thing for the mind also. When we initially start meditation, the viciousness increases. But then gradually, as we go on offering it to Shiva, slowly and gradually the change is seen. Don't ever think, how can we offer our viciousness to Shiva? How can we offer our viciousness to God? No, it doesn't matter. Because He is ready to take that viciousness from us, so that we are able to purify ourselves from the thought level itself. But when this struggle is there, many people, they give up meditation. Being afraid, I don't know what is happening within me. I think I won't be able to do meditation. And this is why they give up. Don't give up. But whenever negative thoughts arise, do not pay attention to them. Just as if there was a person whom we had developed a great friendship, and every day he used to come to our house, and we used to sustain him by offering him breakfast and tea and snacks, etc. So he enjoys coming to our place because he is getting free snacks and tea and breakfast. But one day we come to know whom we had given all this, the tea and breakfast, and whom we have sustained so much, he is trying to make me bankrupt. He is trying to steal my property. And some of it is already stolen. The moment I realize this. But he is so powerful that I cannot fight with him. So what will we do? Whenever he comes, we won't pay attention to him. We'll tell him, today I'm so busy, please come after some time. And we don't offer him snacks and breakfast and tea also. So one day he feels, I think he has found out, so it is better for me to find some other person who can sustain me with the breakfast and the snacks. And gradually he starts coming lesser and lesser and lesser, and a time comes when he has completely stopped, he has found someone else and he has gone to that place. Similarly, whenever negative thoughts come up, don't nourish them, don't sustain them, but ignore them. Whenever we go on ignoring those negative thoughts, gradually the trend will start breaking. And when the trend of negative thinking starts breaking, then gradually it is gone forever. But for that, definitely we need to sustain the mind with some healthy thoughts. We need to nourish the mind with some healthy thoughts. If we do not nourish the mind with healthy thoughts, then we can never get rid of the negative thoughts. Today, people have become aware of positive thinking. They have this realization, yes, we need to think positive in our life. We need to be positive in our life. But this is an awareness just to give advice to others. That's all. Not to be applied for the self. When somebody thinks negative, we can give a good piece of advice. Why are you thinking negative? Think positive. But when we also in certain situations, if we land up in those situations and we start thinking negative, and that person would come up to us and tell us, you are giving us very good advice not to think negative and think positive. What has happened to you? And what do we say? Do we really admit, yes, I am also thinking negative? No. We never admit. We say, well, my case is different than yours. In your case, I still advise that you are thinking negative. But my case is also different, completely different from yours. And I have to think about these aspects as well. So there we feel as if we are doing accurate thinking. We are not thinking negative. So it is just like a piece of advice that we can give to others, but not to be applied for the self. Why negative thinking has become so natural in our lives? Because the input is such. Early morning we get up, we take up the newspaper. And what quality of thoughts do we get from the newspaper? Positive or negative? Negative. There are certain positive columns also within the pages. But how many people have the taste to read those columns? Very few. Hardly any. Mostly people have the taste to read the negative columns first. And this is how they nourish their minds. So when the input is negative, the process is going to be negative. And the output in our behavior, in our thinking process will also be negative. By giving a negative input, we can never generate positive thoughts. In order to generate positive thoughts, I need to nourish my mind with some thoughts of wisdom. With some spiritual thoughts, this is the most healthy diet for the mind. So that we become spiritually healthy, mentally empowered. And for the last 3-4 days, you did not get any newspapers here. No televisions were here. So no negative input was given to you. And did you enjoy your stay? Are you enjoying your stay or you are missing something in life? Huh? Enjoying the stay. And you feel that the whole day is so light. There is so lightness mentally also. No stress has been created. Why? Because stress is created only when there are lots of negative inputs. Because when we are at home, through telephones, through televisions, through phones, people coming, meeting us, sharing something, all negative, mostly. Hardly we get some positive, healthy inputs, spiritual inputs. And since the last 3 days, you are being nourished by only positive inputs and you are enjoying. You are feeling the lightness within. You are feeling the comfortable thing. They may not be all the luxuries that you have at home. There may not be the facilities that you have at home, but still you are enjoying your stay. Why? Because you are being served and nourished with some spiritual healthy thoughts from morning till evening, and you enjoy. So what is the mind enjoying? When the mind is nourished with healthy thoughts, it enjoys. If somebody would sit here on the stage and start talking something about politics and waste and all useless things, you will get bored. You feel like going out and taking a stroll, isn't it? You won't enjoy. Half an hour also, it becomes very difficult to listen to the same person if he is talking waste. He'll immediately get up. We don't enjoy. And we feel as if we are wasting our time. So what does the mind enjoy? It enjoys the spiritual nourishment. Have you realized that? And what is it aspiring for? The mind is aspiring for some spiritual healthy nourishment, which the taste you got here in the last 3 days. So when you go from here also, regularly nourish your mind early morning hours with some spiritual thoughts, and then you can see how the day passes. How your interaction will be, what will be the quality of your life, what will be the quality of your thoughts, what will be the quality of your behavior. Everything starts changing. This is an experience that you get here, which feels as if it's such an empowering experience where we empower ourselves with some spiritual healthy thoughts. But it will take some time definitely to eliminate the negative thoughts from our lives. It is not an overnight process. Like for a small child, when we send the child to school to learn ABCD, we can teach the child ABCD at home. It's not a big job, but why do we send him to school? So that the child gets an environment of learning. So that the child can learn easily because there is a company that he's getting of other children. There are such atmosphere and such things that are provided to him so that he learns easily. That is why we send him to school. At home, neither he can learn, neither we can teach him. We do not find that time also. And the environment is also not there of learning. So we want to send him to school. Similarly, in order to train the mind to think positive, it's not an overnight process and it cannot be cannot be practiced at home itself. Initially, we have to go to this spiritual university also, to this Vishwavidyalaya. Why? Because at home when we start practicing meditation, the phone call will come. The doorbell will be there. Some people come to meet us. So the environment is not created to practice meditation. So in order to master the mind, to channelize the energy of the mind in a positive direction, initially I need that environment. Without the environment, we cannot learn. It becomes very difficult for us to practice. So regularly we have to go to the school, because in generating positive thoughts, we are still very young. It cannot be done at home. It is impossible. So first we have to get in that environment. We have to get in that company. We have to get those things to learn, which makes the learning process easier and faster. So if we really want to experience meditation, and if you really want to learn meditation, and if you are sincere in that, then you have to go to the local centers so that you get the environment, you get the company, you get that atmosphere, you get those aspects which will make your meditation easier and to learn faster. Then the next stage of meditation is what we call as communication, where we communicate with God. As soon as we have started generating positive thoughts, then clarify what is my relationship with God. Yesterday we saw that there are basically six main relationships which are so near and dear to human beings. And how can we establish all this relationship with God also? So the first relationship, which is of a father and mother with the child. The second relationship is that of a teacher and a student. The third relationship is of a guru and a disciple. The fourth relationship is of a friend. The fifth relationship is of a beloved. And the sixth relationship is where we become the parents and we have children. So can we establish all these relationships with God? Is it practical? Yes, it is practical. If I ask you to remember your bodily parents, is it easy or difficult? Is it easy or difficult? Easy. What thoughts do you have when you remember your parents? What are the thoughts that you generate? What do you think about them? Look, it is easy, but hardly we know what thoughts we have when we remember our parents. Whenever we remember our parents, we remember them on the basis of their qualities, on the basis of what they have done for us. Those qualities, those values that they possessed in their lives, which were so great. It reminds me of that beautiful story which you might have heard also. There was a person once, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw as if he was walking on the shore of the ocean. When he looked closer, he found the footprints. And at some places there were four footprints, and at some places there were only two footprints. He was looking at his whole life, the journey of life that he had taken up. And when he looked closer, he found that when his days of happiness was there, there were 4 footprints. But when his days of sorrow were there, there were only 2 footprints. So he talks to God and says, God, I thought you were always by my side. What do I see today? In my days of happiness, when I was feeling so light, when I was feeling at the top of the world, you were walking with me. Because these 2 footprints are yours and 2 footprints are mine. But in my days of sorrow, when I needed you the most, where did you go away? Why do I see only 2 footprints? God smiles at him and says, child, I was always by your side. Never did I leave you. But in your days of happiness, I was catching your finger and moving with you, so you are able to see the 4 footprints, 2 yours and 2 mine. But when you were depressed, when you were so sad in your life, when you had tears in your eyes, I was not able to see that. So I holded you comfortably in my hands. These 2 footprints are not yours, they are mine. This is the love of God. If we experience that, God also is always by our side. Each and every step that we are taking, He is by our side. Yes, in our happy days, He also holds our finger and He moves with us. But in our days of sorrow, in our days of when we are feeling so low in life, He also comfortably holds us in His hands. And this is our experience. If we turn back and look into our lives, whenever we were going through those sad days, sorrowful days, depressed days, where did we get the power to tolerate and overcome that situation? It was as if a power that we were getting in the disguised form, and we were able to overcome that situation in life. So this is God's love for us. He always holds us whenever we need Him. But then afterwards we forget Him. We hardly remember Him. During the whole day, how much do we remember Him? It's very few moments we get to remember or think about Him. From morning till evening, He is there by our side every moment. From morning, waking up, you might have got this experience. Whenever you had to catch a flight in the morning, or you had to catch an early morning train, and you set an alarm so that you wake up on time, but you have this experience that your eyes are open 5 minutes before the alarm rings. And you have had this feeling, somebody shook you and woke you up. Who woke you up? It was God who had woken you up. Get up, my child, you will be late. And afterwards the alarm would sound, but you get up. But after that, do you remember Him? Every day He wakes us up. But we don't realize that God is waking me up. And God feels the first thing He will do waking up, He will remember me. But do we remember Him? Getting up from the bed, we come out. Have the newspapers come or not? We take up the newspaper and we sit down to read the information. God feels, okay, let Him have the information of the world also. Then He will remember me. But after reading the newspaper, we get ready, have our breakfast, and hardly do we remember God. We move out of the house. God feels doesn't matter, he is getting late, so let him go to the office. Before he would start his work, definitely he would remember me. But before starting our work, do we remember him? No. So God feels doesn't matter, he is so busy, he has to complete his assignments before the time is over. But definitely before having his lunch, he will definitely remember me. But before taking lunch, do we remember him? No. God feels, my child is so hungry, let him have his food, doesn't matter. In the evening, he will definitely remember me. But in the evening, what happens? We have to go out for some social things. So God feels, well, he has to stay in the world, he has to shoulder those duties also, responsibilities also. But before going to bed, definitely he will remember me. And after coming from the various social gatherings, we switch on the television. What is coming up on the television? Hardly we remember him. God feels, okay, let him entertain himself. Before going to sleep, definitely he will remember me. And by seeing the television there itself, we fall asleep. That is how our day ends. The whole day, again, the next day God will wake us up. The whole day he will wait for us. He waits that my child will look towards me, but we do not look towards him. Just imagine if you have a child, you are so much concerned for him. Every time you are by his side and he doesn't look towards you, how would you feel? God is also our parent. And if we do not have time for him, still he doesn't feel bad. The next day again he wakes us up so lovingly. Whenever some situation problems come up, God is there. Child, I am ready to help you. But hardly we hear this voice. And we start calling this person, that relative. We start calling human beings. When everybody has refused, I'm sorry, I cannot help you in this. God will help you now. That is the time when we say, oh God, help me. But now the time has gone. So it cannot be rectified. You have to go through that suffering. If initially only we would have called upon to God, we would not have to go through all that suffering. He is always there to lend a hand. But hardly we, at the first moment, think about him. So just imagine you are there to help your child when he is in a difficult state. And he doesn't look towards you, he is looking for someone else. How bad you will feel. I am there. And I am ready to help him on the basis of my experiences. But he doesn't look towards me. And when the time has gone, and even if he looks towards you, you will say, I am sorry child, I can't help you now. Because when I wanted to help you, you did not take my help. Now what can I do? I cannot change this time. So this is what happens. God loves us so much, but hardly we realize the love of God. So this is the love of the parent. The second relationship is of a teacher and a student. How does a student remember the teacher? On the basis of his study, on the basis of the knowledge that he has gained from him, on the basis of the valuable lessons that he has learned from his teacher. Similarly, God is our supreme teacher as well, who teaches us valuable lessons in life and makes us so experienced. He grants us the wisdom to go through. So this is how a teacher is so powerful. There was once a student who was very clever in his primary school. And he was a favorite student of his teacher. His teacher also loved him so much, the class teacher. In the 8th class, when the student was not to be seen, the teacher was wondering, where is my favorite student? He is so clever in all the subjects. He inquired from the other students and he came to know that his father said that he does not have money to pay off his fees. So he has started doing the farming. He has gone into tilling the land. So the teacher was, he felt so much that his father is spoiling the future of the child. So one day evening after the school, he goes to that father and tells him, look, why are you spoiling the future of your child? Your child is so clever. He will definitely be something great in his life. Don't spoil his future. The father said, well, I don't have money to pay off his fees. So what can I do? He has to get into the business of the farming. So the teacher felt so bad. He said, okay, you send him to school. I will pay for his fees. Hardly we get such teachers today. But in one time there was such teachers also. So the teacher started paying for his fees 1 year. Then he got him a scholarship and got him to study further. Not only that, for his further studies he sent him to some abroad lands, so that he can become something, and for that he got a sponsorship, a scholarship for him, and sent him to do his further studies. He became a great scientist. After coming from abroad, when he goes to his village, his friends had come to pick him up, so he goes to the village. As he gets down from the car, he tells his friend, you take the luggage in the house, I'll be back within a few moments. And in the corner there was a small house where his teacher lived, who was so old, hardly he could see. Having a stick in his hand, he goes up to him, touches his feet, and the teacher says, who is this? So the students say, teacher, I am your student. I've come from abroad and today I have a degree. I've become a scientist. The teacher is so happy. He has tears in his eyes. He hugs the child. And with his blessings, he comes home. His friend said, why did you go there first? First you should have met your parents. Boy said, look, whatever I am today is because of my teacher, not because of my father. My teacher loved me so much that he arranged everything for me. He got me the scholarship, he got me the sponsorship also and sent me abroad. He did so much of efforts for me in creating my future. My father had no money to pay for my fees. I would become a farmer if my teacher would not have helped me. So this is what a teacher is. Just imagine, God is also our supreme teacher and He also creates our future. It is not just for one student that He creates a future, but He makes so many like Him. And each and everyone becomes so efficient like him. Similarly, the relationship of a guru and a disciple. In this relationship, there is also great love. Swami Vivekananda was Swami Vivekananda because of his guru. If he did not have that guru, he would have been an ordinary Narendra, a household Narendra. But he became Swami Vivekananda because of his guru. So every time the disciple has this feeling, how should I be worthy of claiming the blessings as a right from my guru? Just imagine one day you wake up in the morning, you open the door of your house and there your guru is standing in front of your house. You would feel, I am so fortunate today. My day will be beautiful. Having the darshan of the guru in the morning itself. And supposing at that moment, the guru raises his hand and blesses you. What would you feel? Oh, my days have changed from today. I am such a fortunate one to claim the blessings early in the morning only. What fortune I have got today. And feeling yourself to be so fortunate that the guru has come up to me to bless me. Feeling so pleased, being so worthy, you feel as if you have achieved so much in your life. Similarly, every day, you are also being awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? You know why? Let me share a secret with you. Because this is the time when God becomes the bestower of fortune and He bestows fortune to all. His time of bestowing fortune is from 2:30 to 5 o'clock. And this is the time when sleep also comes. You may not get sleep the whole night, but after 2:30, you will get sleep. Till 5 o'clock, you'll get good sleep. So Maya also wants you to sleep. He does not want you to get the fortune from God, and God wants you to stay awake. So God is bestowing the fortune and Maya wants you to sleep, does not want you to take that fortune. So it will bring sweet sleep to you. That is why when people talk of fortune, what do they say? When God was bestowing fortune, did you fall asleep or what? So just imagine when God is bestowing fortune and at that time we go to sleep, we lose everything. So it is said, the one who awakes, the one who gets up early in the morning, it is known as Amrit Vela, the time of nectar, when He blesses us with blessings. And our days start changing with the blessings of God. But when Maya makes us fall asleep, and if we think 5 minutes, let me sleep, we sleep for the next 2 hours and the fortune is gone. Even if somebody wakes up and comes here for meditation, but he is not alert and goes to sleep here itself, nodding the head again and again, and at that time, God gives you the pen to draw the line of your fortune as much as you want. And at that moment, I am falling asleep. I am feeling sleepy. When a person feels sleepy and if he has a pen in the hand and is writing, instead of writing, what will happen? He will cross and the cross will come down. So this is how we cross the line of our fortune and then we blame God. Why did you make my fortune such? He says, I had given you the pen in your hand. you were not alert enough to take that blessings. Now why do you blame me? So this is how God becomes supreme preceptor, supreme guru, and grants us blessings. You sometimes want to call somebody within the town, it does not matter, you can go and meet him anytime. But if you want to call somebody outside, in a different city, and the whole day you go on trying to contact him and you get an engaged tone every time. So then you feel, let me catch him in the morning hours. So you catch him in the morning hours. Because morning the line is not busy. And you can easily catch him, you can get him. And whatever you want to get him do, he will do it for you. Supposing, but when you try to contact him in the morning, you'll have to dial a zero first. Then the code number and then the phone number. But if you want to call somebody in a foreign land, you have to dial 00. Then the code number and then the phone number. But supposing you want to dial God, you want to contact him, that is also in the early morning hours, because during the whole day he is very busy. So early morning hours you catch him. But today I'll tell you a secret dialing code number. So that you can contact God. You like to know the dialing secret code number? The code number is 0001. Which are the three zeros? You won't get on that STD line. But the first zero, just as when you want to contact somebody in a different city, you dial zero. And the first zero is that the local lines are cut. When you do an international dialing, 00, first zero, to get the local lines cut, then the national line is cut. Then you dial the international line. Get the international line. But when you want to contact God, who is the dweller of the abode of peace, Paramdham, three zeros. The first zero means I am a soul. The soul is the point of light, which will cut the bodily lines. So the local lines are cut. Isn't it? The second zero is, he is also a point of light. So all the bodily relationships, they got cut, because in the early morning hours, everybody is sleeping. So nobody is there to disturb you also. And the third zero is, at that time, there are no tasks also. In the early morning hours, do you have any work? At 4 o'clock, no work. So all the work is also at a full stop. So putting a full stop, applying a full stop to all the regular work also. And one, remember him only and no one else. Just as Meera by mention, Meera to ek girdhar gopal dooja na koi. So God is the only one and nobody else for me. So in this way, applying three zeros and one, this is the secret dialing code number for God. Now you'll be able to contact him. So the first zero, become soul conscious. Second zero, become God conscious. And the third zero means apply full stop to all the regular works also, and remember only one and no one else. The fourth relationship is of a friend. It is always said, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Where Arjuna took him to be his friend. And when he considered God as his friend, he was there to guide him at each and every moment. Today we find that there are so many stories of Khuda Dost. where God becomes our friend. But whenever we want to establish this friendship, there has to be some base. Without any base, there is no friendship, isn't it? Like in a class of 50 students, we do not develop friendship with all. There are a few whom we are greatly intimated to. So where does the friendship develop? Whenever there are some or the other similarities, either we are able to get ourselves tuned with his thoughts, where there is similarity in the thinking process, where there is similarity in hobbies, where there is similarity in habits, that is when the friendship is developed. Similarly, is there any similarity between us and God? Yes. There are three similarities on the basis of which we can also develop a friendship. The first similarity is of form. He is also a point of light. I am also a point of light. So the form is alike. The second similarity is he is the ocean of all divine qualities and I am the embodiment of divine qualities. That is my real identity. And the third similarity is that we dwell from the same place. Like supposing you go out into some foreign land and somebody from your village is there and you meet him. You develop a friendship. You develop an intimacy with that person. So similarly, when God is also the dweller of Paramdham, I am also the dweller of Paramdham. We reside in the same place. So there can be a friendship between us also. And whenever we want to remember a friend, how do we remember a friend? By remembering whatever he likes, whatever he would appreciate, anything that we like the most, we feel as if this thing I will tell him, he will also appreciate the most. Isn't it? So every small thing we share with other friend. So with God also, make him your friend and you can share everything with him. It reminds me of a beautiful story that once, what happened? There was a person who developed a friendship with God. So one day he talks to God and tells him, look, you are the Lord of the three worlds. You are the Lord of the heavenly kingdom. Sometimes why don't you give me the experience of what the heavenly kingdom is like? So God says, what do you mean to say? He says, I want to have the experience of the heavenly kingdom. Can you give me this experience? So God says, why not? How many days you'd like to have this experience? So he says, 10 days is enough. So he says, okay. 10 days. For 10 days you can become the Lord of the heavenly kingdom and enjoy yourself in the heavenly world. So he sends him there. The first day itself, the person feels what luxuries, what comforts are in heaven. And after 10 days, this will all be over. What can I do? So within 10 days, he creates another beautiful world for him, because in the heavenly kingdom, it is very easy to make something. All resources joined at one place and he creates something beautiful for himself also. And after 10 days, he gives that heavenly kingdom back to God. God, when he learns about this, that he has created an equally beautiful world for him, in this 10 days, he smiles that he is this human being also did not let me go. He has cheated me also. But he did not get angry on him. Why? Because now there is a friendship where there is equalness. There is nothing that is not equal. So this is how he is ready to give you everything as a friend. He is ready to give you all the help. At the same time, God is the beloved also. Just like Mirabai, she took him to be the beloved. So when we also take God to be our beloved, He is there by our side every time whenever we need Him. And not only that, but He is there to comfort us. He is there to change situations which are poisonous for us into nectar-like. And at the same time, we can take God to be our child also. Like Sati Ansuya. What did she do? She took him to be the child. And God gave her the happiness of a child also. Similarly, we can also have God to be our child. Think about it. That whenever you want to think God as your child, He'll be there to serve you. There was once a lady who had 3 children. But whenever you ask him, Mataji, how many children you have? She would say, I have 4 children. The 4th child, she thought God to be my child. So every time, whatever she would bring, she would divide into 4 pieces and share amongst the 3 child, and the 4th she would offer in the temple, or when she started coming to the center, she would give it to the center. Every day she used to come at 6:30, be in class at 6:30. Her place was also fixed. Now, after so many years, the children grew up, they went to different places for their jobs, and the lady was left alone. But she was very happy. Why? Because she always felt, God is still there with me. My 4th child is still there with me. So happily she would pass her day talking to him and preparing things for him and offering him. This is how her day used to pass. One day she did not come into the morning class. So we were concerned about her, that she is alone. Let us see whether she is okay or she is ill or something happened to her. So we thought of going to her house. But after an hour we saw her coming to the center. So we asked her, Mataji, why you didn't come in the morning hours today at 6:30 and you are coming at 8 o'clock? So she said, well, today I was at home with my child. So we thought maybe any one of the 3 might have come. So we asked her, which one has come? So she said, no, they don't have time to come here. They are very busy. But I was there with my 4th child. What happened? So then she shares that since yesterday evening she had so much of fever, her whole body was aching so much, her head was also aching, and she was feeling so cold, and there was so much of weakness that she had developed. She went to sleep, but the whole night she could not sleep because of the fever. The next day morning she tried to get up also, but she could not get up. And her throat was becoming dry. She wanted some water. But she said that I did not have that much of courage to get up and go to the kitchen and drink a glass of water. Then what happened? So then she said, well, I talked to him. I told him, child, won't you give me a glass of water? So we said, then she said, well, nobody came up, but the throat which was getting dry, it started becoming wet, and I had the feeling as if I have drank water. After that, I just lied down on my bed, and I felt as if somebody was pressing my feet. There was no one, but I could feel that somebody was pressing my feet. Then I felt as if somebody was pressing my head also. And in that I fell asleep. 2 hours I had such beautiful sleep, and after 2 hours when I get up, there is no weakness, no fever. My child is such great, without medicine, just by pressing my feet and pressing my head, he makes me okay. So this is how God becomes a child and he serves you also. The worldly children may not be in a position to serve you. They may not be near you, but God is always by your side, every time at your service, and does not expect anything from you. Will you ever find such a child in the world who loves you so much? So this is how when we establish different relationships with him, then we can experience the love of God also, and we come closer and we develop such intimacy with him. That is how we enter into the third stage, where we can get absorbed in his remembrance and we get deeply concentrated in his remembrance. So the third stage of meditation is concentration of mind, where the mind gets focused and we get so deeply absorbed in his love that hardly we have the awareness of anything happening around. It's a state of experience which we need to experience. And the moment we go through this experience, such beautiful feeling we have. As if we enter another world. You might have seen swimmers. There are some people who like swimming in the swimming pool. But some people who like swimming in an ocean. And in the ocean also there are two types of people. One are those who surf on the waves. And there are other who would go deep down and then dive into the ocean. And they enter another world and start exploring that world. And they get so much absorbed in exploring that world that hardly they realize how much time has passed by. When from the top somebody gives them a signal, they come up. Till then, they do not even be aware of the time that has passed by. So similarly, the third stage of meditation is like diving stage. We dive deep and we enter another world and we start exploring that world. And hardly we realize how much time has passed by. We do not feel like getting out of that state of meditation. We experience the ecstasy and the bliss. And we like remaining in that state. That is the third state of meditation, which is concentration. And the fourth stage is then of realization, where we realize the different qualities and we try to absorb those qualities in our lives and realize the value of those qualities and leading a life based on those qualities. So realization brings complete transformation in our life. So these are the four main stages of meditation, and you can experience whatever you want to. Nothing is difficult to get an experience of. When once we start experiencing, then we feel like going further and further into those experiences. And this is what something has to be realized, experienced. Without that, we cannot progress in meditation also. So initial stage is of struggle, then of a relationship where different relationships and we have experiences. We develop an intimacy with God. And then we get absorbed in his remembrance, and then there is realization. So these are the four stages of meditation. Now we shall sit for some time in meditation, and later you can go because today you have to go up for sightseeing also. So for a few minutes, just be seated. For a few minutes, we shall sit in meditation. And then you start off your day with that meditation.